Ange, are you into light editing, like photoshopping images? Because Kate Middleton clearly is. Have you seen that statement that she's put out?
I mean, it's just all a bit weird, isn't it?
As with most amateur photographers, I like to edit my own, but I don't think I've ever seen the royal family talk in such an informal way.
Well, I mean, there is some big shit going on.
There's some conspiracies, isn't there?
Well, just the whole thing is just a little bit weird, isn't it?
What do you think's going on? Obviously, just to say, guys, at the top of the show, this is just our own opinion.
Yeah,
it's this just is all not us. The opinion held of Warner Brothers or anyone else in conjunction
or
with
Kensington
podcast,
Palace.
Or Kensington Palace. We don't have any inside scoop. We're merely two people, two sisters,
two
chatting
dickheads.
Chatting on a podcast about a load of shit. And I have been totally like enthralled by this.
I mean, the thing is, if they weren't so secretive about everything, if it wasn't this whole, I mean, you know, even with Charlie, you know, yes, he's got with the old mate Charlie,
even with, you know, sausage fingers,
Charlie sausage fingers,
yeah,
you know, it's like, we know he's got cancer, but they won't say what and all that happens is it just fuels this gossip, assumptions about things.
What I think is amazing is when I saw that picture on Instagram, I didn't even look twice.
Same.
I was like, oh, there's a nice picture of her with the kids. That's nice on Mother's Day. But have you actually looked, have you read what is wrong with it and looked at it now? I mean, the zip on her coat is completely
And then one of her hands is all blurry.
Charlotte's cardigan is like missing a bit, and also she's not got her rings on. Also, her hands look really big.
Yeah,
don't they?
It's hard as well, because it's like there is obviously something going on, whether it is her health, you know, something, because obviously the statement they came out with a while back was that she'd had to have this surgery, and so there's a part of you just thinks, I feel sometimes like, I feel bad and sorry that this is the way it is, and that you know, this photo's come out, and then it's all, everyone's like been looking at it and studying it and going, well, actually, this is definitely clearly being doctored, and then more rumors start, and then it becomes an even bigger, and then she's had to put out a statement which is very weird about talking about editing photos. And
should I let you into a secret?
Did you edit them?
No.
Oh,
like Eminem talks about Dr. Dre being locked in his basement. Kate and I are releasing a single shortly. We're basically the new Eminem and Dr. Dre.
Okay.
And there's a line in it that says, and then Kate Middleton said, nothing, you idiot. Kate Middleton's dead.
Shit. Okay.
She's not really. You've started this halfway through. That's just a joke. It's just a joke, guys. Okay. For royalists out there, she's not dead. Well, she might be.
As far as we know.
But this is just me dicking around saying that myself and Kate Middleton and the next Dr. Dre and Eminem.
Which actually does explain a bit. You know, if that is what's coming out.
Well, we've just been laying down tracks.
Exactly.
We've just been,
you know, tucking yourselves away, just, you know, coming out with some collabs.
The kids wanted to come over to see her yesterday for Mother's Day. We said, no, you're not allowed. I said, look, Big Willy Styley, will you put together a photo?
Yeah.
He did it. He fucked it up.
Yeah.
He's and now not we're in this shit very good mess. Yeah. At editing. And now we're in
Big
this
Willy
mess.
Style.
And yeah, I've had to now release the exclusive on Finding the Funny that Kate Middleton and I are going into a collab.
Yeah, collabing.
We're collabing.
Collabing. Well,
but yeah,
I mean,
it's all very weird. Also, Big Brother, I'm not up to date with it, right? I'm not up to date at all. I won't finish watching it tonight because I'm going to be working till probably 3 a.m.
Brilliant.
But I am going to try and catch up with it. Yeah. But you know what's really getting on my tits?
What?
Gary Goldsmith going around saying, you know, I want the public perception of me to be changed. Gary, I have never had a perception of you in my life.
I don't even know who you are, mate.
I didn't know that you were Kate Middleton's uncle until this very moment. And then when he started saying, I don't want to be a celebrity. Why have you gone
on there,
Celebrity Big Brother then? Like, I've got no desire to be a celebrity. I just want to change the public's perception of me.
Which they don't have, because no one knows who you are, Gary. Also, the fact that he kept banging on about the fact that he was the CEO, the chief entertainment officer. I mean, who the fuck says that shit?
Yeah.
Gary.
Gary. Get a grip, Gary. Gary. Right, I saw a couple of very British problems things that I thought
VBPs.
Were quite funny.
VBPs. Okay. Mm.
If you tell me you're going somewhere on a plane, I will 100% be asking where you're flying from and who you're flying with, even though this information is of no use or interest to me whatsoever. Why do we do that? Were you off on your holidays? Yeah, going to Spain. Mm. Oh, yeah, where are you flying from? Gatwick. Great. Yeah. Who are you flying with? BA. Oh, nice.
Malaga.
Yeah, into Malaga, and then we pick up a hire car, and our villa's about an hour and a half away from Malaga.
It's about that distance away.
I don't ask for that detail in any other aspect of anybody else's life. I couldn't give a shit. If somebody says, I'm going to Southampton for the weekend, I'm not saying, oh, yeah, how are you getting there? Driving, train,
A34.
What station are you going from? What route are you going to take?
Yeah.
Are you actually staying in Southampton or 20 minutes outside? What do we get so obsessed with? Where are you flying from and who are you flying with?
Do you think it's because it's still a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a thing. It's quite a big thing when you're getting on
a plane.
Yeah.
I also wonder whether it's people trying to figure out the class that you are. I'm flying from Luton with Ryanair.
Shit.
Dodgy. That's going to be cancelled.
That'll be cancelled.
Or not get out of Spain. Good luck getting that money back. Or I'm flying from Heathrow. All very nice. BA. All nice.
Yes,
Terminal 5, home of BA. Yeah. Lovely.
Yes. You have got cash.
Yeah. You're not even having to slum it at Gatwick. You're going from Heathrow.
Heathrow,
lovely.
Darling.
Lovely.
On the British Airways.
Yeah. I wonder whether it's a slight sort of like...
I think you might be right there, Pats. It kind of gives you an indication of what kind of holiday these people are going on. And what level of cash they spend.
What are they prepared to put their money into?
Also, it's like you want to know the time you're flying, because you know if someone's getting a 3 a.m. flight from Luton with Ryanair, that's cost you £50 and it will be cancelled.
You will not see that £50 for shit, mate.
No, and you'll be back at your bedroom by 8 a.m. having gone nowhere.
The other one that I saw is... British meanings of you look well. Okay, so there's a whole list of these. So when somebody says you look well, this is what they really mean.
Mm.
You looked particularly bad when we last met and you've improved since then. You look larger than last time. We both know you're looking unwell, but I'm trying to make you feel better about it. I can't remember who you are. You're sunburnt. You look incredible, but I'm not going to say so. So that's as far as I'm going to go by saying you look well. I say this to everyone, regardless of how they look. You look larger than last time. That's my favorite.
You're looking well. You've put on 2 stones.
And I also like, you look incredible, but I'm not going to go so far as saying that. So I'll just say you look well.
You look well. Well, do you know what I've just done this afternoon?
What?
I've gone full Patty Hag. Right?
Have you?
Not even deliberately. I mean, kind of deliberately, because I am really tired. And
we had a big weekend. It was a big weekend.
It's been a big Ibiza weekend.
Yeah, it's been David Potts this
one. We've been hanging out with Potts all weekend.
Yeah.
And so I've just literally looked like an absolute hag all day and I haven't given a shit. And then I had to pop out to the Way to Rowers. Now, obviously, you know, you're going to the Way to Rowers, you do tend to sort of try and. It's not like you're just going to the Tesco, is it?
Oh, Ange, that's ridiculous.
Anyway,
come on.
I went to the Waiter Rowers looking like a hag, and I don't care. I don't give a shit. No, went in, I had to take a parcel back to somewhere else. You know, so I was sort of doing the rounds, seeing a lot of people interacting. And then I got back in the car with Nels, and she went, you've got a massive whack of Marmite on your chin. And I did. And I literally went, shit, have I? And then I pulled the visor down and there's this whole like string of mud, which has obviously been there since about 8 a.m.
Brilliant.
And I was like, what has happened to me? And
that
then, do you know
brilliant.
What I thought? I love that, actually. I've gone out like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the whole going out in your PJs. Same thing, mate.
I mean,
same vibe.
Probably not.
I wish then today, because we haven't got our videos on today. I wondered why you were so okay with no video and I didn't get some kind of shit saying, well, Pats, that's not what we do now, is it? We have our videos on. I wondered why you were just like, no worries, Pats. Now it's become obvious because you look like a bag of shit. Look like a bag of shit.
But do you know what? Had we have done videos, I would have just come on looking like a bag of shit.
That's what I mean, and I'm in that now. Mood. Because now it's always me that comes on looking ridiculous and you're always like, you know, your hair looks all right, you've got a bit of makeup on, you've got a nice top on, and I'm like, hiya, sorry guys, I look like I've just woken up. I haven't, I've been working all day, but I know I look like I've just woken up. And today it would have been, and you were so fine with it. Normally I'd get some kind of sarky comment that was like, that's disappointing, Pat, or such a shame, or Martin, remember this, that it's Patty that can't put her camera on. But you were just like, no worries, Pat, makes sense now. You didn't want a video on while you're looking.
I did not want to be a haggy mess.
Hagtastic.
I didn't want to be Hagrid.
You didn't. You're leaving. Well. Oh, no. Well, you and James brought up the Hagrid stuff on Saturday night, didn't you, bloody bastards? Absolutely rinsed me again.
We've always got to bring up the Hagrid, Pats. I mean, we can't be the three of us and it not be raised.
You can't be the three of us and just not take the piss out of me for something, you bastards. To the point where I asked for a selfie and James was like, yeah, sure, the three of us can have a selfie, and then proceeded to just take a picture with him and Ange and go, right, that's it, we've done now.
And then he put it on our siblings' chat. And yeah. There we go. We've got a selfie now.
Yeah. Got a selfie. That's it now. We're done.
We do love a little gang up on you, don't
you
we?
You absolutely love it, you two. Yeah. And do you know what pisses me off the most? Is that actually me and you are closer than you and James.
Oh, 100.
And then when the three of us are together, you're just like, no, sorry, Pats, I'm just going to ditch you. He's funnier. He makes really funny gags about you, so I'm just going to ditch you and just go along with him.
No, it's actually not about ditching you. It is literally that he just starts it, and then I'm just like, actually, that's really funny. And
yeah,
then
but
I just
you,
have
ditch,
to go
so
along
you
with
ditch
it.
Me. There's no point where
I'm
you're
ditching
like,
you.
Listen, let's take this back, right? Let's take this right back to the cocktail incident. And you made me lick that disgusting Manchester off. And you ditched me. You were like, this is funny, actually, Pats, you've got to do it. At no point did you say, no, come on, James. Don't. Come on, G-Bro. Don't make
sure.
Do
I don't
anymore.
Know what happens. I think he just has some kind of power.
Yeah, he has a hold over you. And as soon as we're all together, you're like, actually, yeah, Patty, you look like Hagrid. Patty, you've got to lick that matcha. Patty, you're out on your own.
Now, we did get a message in from Alice Melinda, which I feel I need to raise.
Okay.
Okay. And
bring it.
This is really, it's quite specific to Tricky, actually. So,
right.
Trick, Martin. I'm just kind of bringing you in on this because, you know, I just want to make sure you listen and take it in.
Oh, Martin's just put, oh God. Martin's put older. This is it. This is the end of Martin's career as we know it.
So this message came in from Alice Melinda. This was last week. She said, right, amazing pod, 10/10 as usual. However, I'm driving along, tittering away to myself, joining in with the heavily into with Patty and Ange, and then suddenly it stops. Am I the only one who is missing the Bosch? Where is the Bosch? Hashtag bring back the Bosch. Now, I have to say that the Bosch is there. I think Trick might have dropped the Bosch.
Right.
So I replied to Alice. I said, I also noticed the missing of the Bosch. I shall be having words with our producer about this. Don't you worry, Alice. Now,
he did drop the Bosch.
Right. Well, I'm afraid, Trick. It, for Alice, she wants the Bosch back, and I think a lot of people are going to want the Bosch back. So can we start a hashtag bring back the Bosch?
He's not dropped the ball, he's dropped the Bosch. I'm going to start saying, oh, I dropped the Bosch on that.
She did actually say, I'm so relieved, I can't wait to Bosch next time. So as long as we make sure the Bosch is back, Trick, for, you know, whenever we do...
But maybe there's...
Into...
Okay, Can you give me a Bosch? Right, we're all going to be quiet now. Angie's going to give us the best Bosch she's got.
Okay. Bosch.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Okay, we're back in the bags. We're back in the game. Alice, perfect. The Bosch will be back for the next
bring
time.
Bring back the Bosch. I've dropped the Bosch on that.
Yes.
Now, talking of messages, I do believe Sammy Golden had a question
yes.
for us.
Yes. Now, Golden has posed the question. She put it in the lovely question.
Nice.
And she says, this is quite a good one, I think. What would your gladiator name be?
CBA.
Eh?
CBA.
CBA?
Yeah.
Well, you'd be called CBA. What, you just can't be asked?
Can't be asked. And now taking on our contestant, Jennifer from Southend, we've got Wolf. We've got Titan. Hey, we've got CBA. You just see me looking haggy at the back, eating a packet of crisps.
Not in any type of lycra.
Oh, no, I'd be fully lycra'd up.
Oh, you'd be big on the lycra.
That'd be funny. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And it's just like, I just go into them. I'm like, yeah, sure, hit me off the podium. Do what you got to do. Yeah, and I'm not going to try and pull you off those hoops. I'm just literally CBA.
Hit me off a podium.
Yeah. I'll just be like, do whatever. My whole thing would be, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. That's actually quite a good one. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think mine would be, I don't know.
I think yours would be Micro Wave.
Micro Wave.
Because you're small.
Yes.
Micro, but you make big waves. Wave.
Big waves. Yes. Micro Wave.
And now taking on Philippa from Carlisle, we've got Jet. Yay. We've got Micro Wave.
Woo.
Yeah, I think you would be Micro Waves. But put out, it's got to be Micro Wave.
It's got to be with the Nigella. Yeah. Nigella twist, the Micro Wave.
So you'd be, I'd be CBA, you'd be Micro Wave.
Brilliant. I think we need to make this happen.
Amazing. We had an email in from Lindsay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I thought I would just read the whole email to you. She's put in a little tits and addictive behaviour that I thought we could just discuss top of the show.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Hi, ladies. It's taken me so long to catch up on all of your previous episodes after I discovered you through the lovely Rossi D. Woods. Mm-hmm. I was hooked after that and started right back at episode one and listened to every single episode on my way to work and on my way home. Today, I finally listened to the most recent upload. Thank God, because I'm exhausted from all the laughing. I can't wait to listen to something else for a change. Joking. Thank you for all the time you dedicate to the podcast. You two are amazing. Anyway, here's a tit, or perhaps a dickish behaviour that I happened on today that I wanted to share. In capital letters, she's put joggers. Okay. Particularly those who run on the road in the opposite direction. So essentially running right at you. It's dickish and it gets on my tits. There's a perfectly good pavement you can run on. I don't drive on the pavement, so please don't run on the road. Dicks. Have a great day. Lindsay.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks, first of all, Lindsay, for going through that marathon. I mean,
all the way back.
Wow. I mean, that is... I'm hoping she can see some improvement.
Imagine if she couldn't in the editing.
Yeah.
Imagine if she's like that. The
actually,
editing,
the beginning was really good.
The editing was much better.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't have taken out the Bosch.
We would. I would have definitely on the edit kept the Bosch in. But I think the whole thing around joggers is similar to cyclists, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, look, I get it. You want to go for a jog, that's fine. Now, just to be clear, Lindsay, they are supposed to run in the opposite direction to the car. That is a safety measure.
For safety reasons,
That is a safety measure. So we can't hold that against them.
No.
But why do people, when they're running, when there is a pavement, run on the road?
Do you know what it is? Okay, and obviously I've sort of done a little bit of running here and there myself.
Right. Right, you've gone through Couch to 5K twice, which is really good. But you're not like an ultra runner.
I'm not saying I am an ultra runner. I'm just saying I've done a little bit myself here and there.
Right.
Right. And I can... What it is, right, is when you're running on the pavement, you obviously get where you've got the like the dropped curbs.
Oh.
Right? So when you're running and you keep on having to sort of go down and up and down and up and down and up, it actually, A, it's just a bit of a pain in the ass, and also it's not good on your knees. So I actually think the reasons for doing it, I kind of get. And I would do that myself sometimes. Okay. I was like, actually, this is a bit of road. There's not going to be many cars. I'll do it. But I do agree with Lindsay. There are a lot of people that almost feel like it's their right to do it. Yes.
To
and that's where I have a problem.
Do you know what I think it is? Mm. I think it's because they want to feel like they're doing the London Marathon. Because they all jog on the road, don't they? Like, roads are closed and
roads
shit.
Are closed, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they think, right, if it's good enough for the marathon, on ultra runners, it's good enough for me.
It's good enough for me in my borough, in my community.
It's good enough for me to bosh this in my borough, so I'm going to do it.
Yes.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, yeah.
I think they think, oh, you know, this is, I'm being healthy, I'm being active, you're lazy driving in
your
car.
You're in your car. Yeah.
I'm going to go on the road as well because that's my God-given right.
Yeah. I do think actually a lot of, I mean, you know, we've discussed cyclists many a time because they do really get on my tits. Mm. And I actually think the roads have become very much in the favour of cyclists over cars.
Oh, for sure.
And that really pisses me off.
And you know who's to blame for that, don't you? Greta Thunberg.
Greta. Bloody Greta.
I'm only joking for those Greta fans out there. Don't get me cancelled because I think Greta's done amazing things for the environment.
The environments. And I do, I get it. You know, now cyclists, they've got all like the cameras on their bikes so they can
dash cams.
You know, your dash cams, your handlebar cams.
Yeah.
You slightly brush past a cyclist, that's it. Bang, we're down. They're like footballers. Okay, so the thing that has been getting on my shitting tits, and I'm seeing it more and more, which is just winding me up more and more, right? Are people on your socials, mainly your gram,
right,
using these little tiny microphones?
Yeah! What?
What? Why have people decided?
Yeah, that is true, actually. That is true.
And there are a lot of people now that I wouldn't have thought, I wouldn't have put in the small mic bracket.
Who?
Right, there's this one woman I follow.
Yeah.
She's called Impo.
Oh, yeah, Impo she, Life, yeah.
Right, yeah. I love her. I think she's brilliant. But she started using a little mic.
Micro mics.
Micro mics.
Yeah.
And I just don't. And then they actually, you know, they hold them like a microphone to their mouth, like a tiny little microphone.
Yeah,
and
why
talking
has that
to
become
it.
Such a thing?
Why have people started doing that? You don't need a microphone.
Do you know what's on the same vibe as that? That what? Came out for a while. I think we did discuss it, but it's the same thing, and it really pissed me off. People that walk around with like bags that cost £100,000 and they're the size of a paperclip.
Yes.
Balenciaga bought out a bag that was like 50 grand. You couldn't fit anything in it. You could not. I mean, not even a Tampax. I'm talking not even a light flow Tampax.
A Lillette. Not even a Lillette.
A Lillette, which doesn't have an applicator.
A non-applicator tampon.
You couldn't have eaten, which is essentially a bit of cotton wool, right? With a string on it. You could, and they're going to their award ceremonies and they're like Balenciaga and they're, you know, and they're walking in all their designer gear with a micro microphone and a tiny
and a micro
little
bag.
Those bags, man, they fuck me off so much.
What is
the point?
Why are we going all micro?
What has happened that we have got
micro?
Why
are we not just going
large?
You
know what's going to happen next, don't you?
What?
We're going to turn up at the supermarket and the trolleys are going to be like, you can only fit a paperclip in them. And we're going to be expected to carry them around in the palm of our hands and try and get as much shopping in them as we can.
It It's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what I blame? I
don't get it.
Which I do actually love.
What?
Those videos of people doing micro cooking, which we have talked about before. Yes. And I love those so much.
I think that is where all this has started.
People have gone micro-tastic.
Yes, making little micro burgers with their in their micro kitchen, their micro pans, whilst talking into a micro microphone and carrying their micro bag. What? I just don't get it.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, and loads of people are doing it.
It's like they think that it looks cool or it looks funny, and it just doesn't. It just looks odd.
You just look stupid.
You just look stupid. Yes. Honestly, guys.
When I saw Inpo doing it, I was quite disappointed.
Were you?
Yeah. I thought, what are you doing, love?
What are you doing? I wonder if one of those micro microphones would fit in one of those micro packs.
That's probably what, you just pop that in.
Maybe that's why they were invented.
Yeah. You can pop in your microphone and your Lilette.
And you're,
and you're good for the night.
And if you've whacked up a micro wrap in your micro kitchen, you might squeeze that in there as well.
Pop that in, just if you get a bit peckish for later.
So we had a dilemma come in, didn't we? This person's obviously been asked us to keep them anonymous, which we always do.
Yeah.
We know that this is a woman, but she's asked us to keep her anonymous. And it says this. This is my dilemma. Please keep me anonymous. I've been with my partner for 3 years. We have only ever had sex in the same position, doggy style. Apparently he can't finish or even keep it up in any other position. The sex has got pretty samey. I could do it in autopilot. The same thing happens every time. We don't even kiss anymore. Not that this was great to begin with and happened very often, but I do love a kissing sesh. And I can't finish off because it has just got so unspontaneous and exciting. Anyway, I suppose my dilemma is, how do I change things up if he has to finish the same every time? Just would like to add, I have binge listened to you over the last couple of weeks and I am obsessed with you both. You both absolutely crack me up and remind me of me and my sister.
I actually think this is a big issue for more people than
definitely
you think. Definitely. And I actually really appreciate this person, sending this in to us and being quite, being very open and very honest about the situation that she's in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's really hard when you're in long-term relationships. Yeah, obviously, they've been together 3 years, which actually is not that long, but it is, any long-term relationship when you're doing this, it just becomes so mundane and it just becomes another thing you have to put into the mix of your day. And it's like, sometimes it's the last thing you want to do, but you're like, oh, I'll just do it anyway. Mm. And so I totally get what she's saying. And I suppose there's another issue in here for her. They don't seem to be able to have sex in any other way other than how he likes to do it, because that's the only way he can enjoy it.
Mm.
Which again is like, that's an added layer into her own enjoyment, because obviously isn't something that she's particularly enjoying or getting anything out of. Mm. The first thing I thought of when she sent this message in is like, has she spoken to him about it? Which again, it's hard because we don't have any clear indication of that and whether that has been. But that would be the first thing I would say. If this is something that's really now getting to the point where it's affecting your relationship and how you feel, then I think you have got to raise it and you have got to talk about it. That would be the first thing I would say. Mm. And then I suppose the second thing would be, is if he is open and willing to sort of try some new things and just mix it up a little bit. And even if it's just something you try here and there, just to kind of see how it goes, then I think that has got to be a starting place. And then I suppose the last thing would be maybe getting some kind of help from like a sex therapist or going to speak, that there are so many people that do that now.
I was going to say that. I mean, I don't know whether you remember when we had
Yes.
Kate, when we had Kate Campbell on, who is a sex therapist. Now, Kate's got her own podcast with her son Diggory, where they talk a lot about sex and sexual relationships. So I would recommend that this person also checks that out. But I also think there was a really interesting thing that Kate talked about, which was in long-term relationships, putting your partner on like sex bans, and how that how when you first go into sex therapy, one of the things that they'll normally talk about is like, okay, you can't have sex now. Between now and our next session, you cannot have sex.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really overlooked and misunderstood kind of way to reignite that. Because I think if you've got into this regular kind of mundane thing of it's like, oh, we have sex on a Wednesday and we have sex on a Friday,
and this we do is it the like way we this. Do it.
And, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, everything's done, we roll over and go to sleep, then yes, there's no spontaneity. The moment you say to me, the moment somebody says to you, right, you cannot have sex for a week, I wonder whether there's a sense of bringing, you know, how do those conversations change? Like, it gets to the night that you'd normally have sex, or it gets to the length of time that it's been since you last had sex and it would be expected, or you would just get on and do it. I wonder how that changes the conversation. I wonder also whether, I always think conversations like this, even if you've been with somebody for a really long time, are helpful to start sometimes over text. Because I think it can be less embarrassing. And I know that's a really weird thing to say, because when you've been with somebody and you've seen them naked and you've done really intimate things like sex, it's bizarre to think that this could be embarrassing. But I actually think it can. I think for lots of couples, you can get into this stagnant stalemate where it's like, who's going to bring it up? And I wonder whether just saying to him on a message, we need to address this, maybe we just have some text messages about how we do that. But I, like you, Ange, would definitely say seeing a sex therapist could probably help you to better understand each other's needs.
And I think it's very easy, again, in long-term relationships to lose that sort of early intimacy that you quite often have at the start of a relationship. And, you know, like this person was saying, how it's become very, this is what we do, and we get in this position and he does that, and then that's it, we're done. And I think, like you said, Pat, about kind of having a bit of a ban on sex, but actually trying to increase the intimacy. So being more kind of affectionate. And when you go to bed at night, there isn't any sex, but actually we're going to just kind of hold or cuddle and kiss and kind of take it right back to those kind of early part of your relationship, and kind of slowly bring in more of the kind of intimacy that you have when you have sex, but just kind of strip it right back to kind of those basics and see if that helps. And I know Steph Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast, she also did a brilliant episode where she had a sex therapist on, and it was specifically about in marriage or in long-term relationships. And so I would, you know, maybe have a look at that and have a listen and see if there's anything, any helpful kind of, you know, tips that she might be able to help you with. But I really appreciate you sending that in to us, and I think it's something that lots of people struggle with, so thank you for sharing. And I really hope that, you know, you're able to kind of get some help and bring the spark back.
100%.
And as we always say with dilemmas, if you ever feel like you'd like to give us an update on it,
please,
we would love to hear what happens in the coming weeks and months. But thank you very much for getting in touch.
Well, there we go. That's the end of another episode. We've flown through it. It's felt like a good one. Thank you, as always, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate your continued listening and support. We love getting your messages. We love hearing from you. Remember, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find Ange and I both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth_Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. But Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.